Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
If you have your Bibles, open up to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. In fact, now let's just go someplace else first. Go over to the book of John. The book of John. For those of you that participated in the first Firestarter class this morning, it was awesome. I saw folks ministering to people, and man, Jesus was having a good time.
Yes.
Where to start? We're going to go to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. You know, we have tried to communicate things as unreligious as possible, and we will continue to do that in the things that we're teaching and the things that we bring from the Word of God. But I believe that one of the things that I really believe the Father wants to get over to us, how many human beings do we have in the room today? If you're a human being, raise your hand. All right. Hopefully that's true for everybody here, otherwise we may have to call, you know, somebody. But anyway, what I believe the Father wants to get over to us, we need to peel off the layers of religion off of this thing called the gospel. Because we've had it, you know, and I mentioned this before, you know, why is it that for the last number of, however long it's been, let's just say in the last 50 to 100 years, why is it that when we try to communicate the gospel to people, we only have five verses we use? And if you notice, everybody uses the same ones. It's like, you know, why do we need a whole book? Let's just have a page with some verses on it, and that's all we get. Because that's all we ever talk about. And that's all we ever communicate. That's all we really ever communicated to people for, you know, at least 50 years. You know, I can't speak before the 60s because I wasn't here. But I'm sure it was probably the same. That it was the same verses communicated all the time to people. You know, usually started around Romans 3:3 and then, you know, John 3:16 and then some other ones. But you'll find that if you look at what Jesus ministered when he was in the earth. Again, understand this, when Jesus came into the earth, he came into the earth as a man with the Holy Spirit upon him. So what we need to understand is what you read in the Gospels is Jesus living a connected lifestyle to Daddy, and this is the way it's supposed to look. And I want to go one step farther than that. This is the way it's supposed to look for every human being that's breathing. Did you hear what I just said? Not just, this is what it's supposed to look for Christians. Because the Word doesn't say that God so loved the Christians. Any more than, you know, Abraham was born Jewish. Right? Abraham was a man. So what we see here in the Gospel of John is if you'll read the things that Jesus communicated to the religious establishment and the people around him, he communicated from a place of, this is the way man looks and functions from this place of being connected. Okay? And we said, John 5, John 5, let's just hit a few review verses here. It says in verse 19, therefore Jesus answered and was saying to them, truly I'm saying to you. Okay, let's just back up. I want to read this part. Verse 18 says, let's go all the way back up to verse 15. It says, the man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well, and for this reason the Jews were persecuting Jesus. Now understand this, when we're talking about, and this is an error that, you know, decades upon decades of human beings have made, and they try to blame an ethnic group or a different culture, they try to blame. Okay, but you got to understand, folks, whenever it mentions the Jews in the gospel, it's talking about the religious system and the leadership. Because you have to understand that the leadership, though they were Jewish, they were appointed by the Romans. Okay? So, decades of human beings have made the error of taking out Jesus going to the cross on an ethnic group, when in reality it was the religious leadership of the day that did it. Do you understand that? I said, do you understand that? We want to make sure that we don't get messed up in our thinking and start holding ethnic groups accountable for things. When our war is not, we don't war against flesh and blood, but principalities, powers, mights, and dominions. In fact, you know, we say it's the religious system of the day, but who was running the religious system of the day if it wasn't darkness? So, I just throw that in there just in case there's any fragment in our heads of, you know, it's those Jews. It wasn't the Jewish people. It was the leadership of the system that put Jesus on the cross, because they were jealous and flat out they were being controlled by darkness. And I don't have time to go into it today, but I can show you there's a number of scriptures in the Word that speak of the fact that things that are religious really are birthed out of darkness anyway. So you have darkness running the religious system, and you have darkness running the people that aren't religious, so he's running both ends of it. And, you know, everybody's supposedly against Jesus. But Jesus was the demonstration of how man functions in the earth, living connected to Father. So he says here, well, he set this guy free, and the guy went back and he told the leadership, say, hey, it was Jesus, the one that healed me. And so then they got upset about this. For this reason, in verse 16, it says the Jews were persecuting Jesus because he was doing those things on the Sabbath day. And he answered them and says, my Father is working until now, and I myself am working. Now, I love the way this is worded in the Greek New Testament, which is the original language of the New Testament. He says, my Father is working right now, even as I'm speaking, he's constantly at work. And he's participating in the results of his actions. So therefore, I am constantly, consistently at work, even as we're speaking right now. And I'm participating in the results of my actions too. And so then they got upset about that. And for this reason, they were seeking all the more to kill him, because he was not only breaking the Sabbath day in their minds, but he was also calling God his own Father and making himself equal with God. Now, the word equal there is the Greek word iso. It means, you know, equal. If you ever have an isosceles triangle, the lines are all the same length. You could take the thing apart and lay them down on top of each other, and they all match. So they were upset at the fact that he was calling God his Father and making himself equal with God. Now let me ask you a question. How many in this room call God their Father?
Yes.
How dare you? But, you know, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen Daddy. If you've seen me, you've seen Daddy. If you've seen one leg of an isosceles triangle, you've seen them all. Right?
Yep.
Because really the issue is, again, we've said this, that the issue with Jesus is, now please hear me, folks, the issue with Jesus is You know, we always use the verse that talks about, you know, no one comes to the Father but by me. And we get it all screwed up and we think that what we're saying is that there's only one God and He's it and there isn't any others. Well, there are some, but they're all little G's. And they all suck. Can I say that? Are you awake yet? Just checking because you're awful quiet. But the issue with Jesus is not accessing God. The issue of Jesus in that verse isn't talking about accessing God anyway. That verse is talking about that Jesus is the only one that holds the right to the 100% accurate demonstration of who Father is. It's speaking of a verse of, sole rights of demonstration, not accessing something. But leave it to religion to screw it up and, you know, teach something that's not really being said there. So it goes from their place. And he says in verse 19, therefore Jesus answered and was saying to them, truly I say to you that the Son can do nothing of himself unless it's something he's seen his Father doing. For whatever the Father is doing, these things the Son is doing also in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he's doing. Let me ask you a question. Does Father love you?
Yes.
How many are not sure? Does the Father love you?
Yes.
Then you should be able to stand on this verse and say, no matter where I am, any place, anytime, anywhere, if Father wants to do something, He shows me what He wants to do. Right? But I want to take that one step farther. Again, for those that missed it the last time. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. So if He loved the world, just like He loves the Son, and He shows the Son all that He's doing, that He wants to show the world all that He's doing. Right? But the challenge is now hold your finger here and let's go back to 1 Corinthians because we're going to come right back to John. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul is communicating to the church in Corinth. He says, look, the gospel is not a, it's not a speech. It's not something that I learned. It's not something that I was taught. It didn't come out of the head of wisdomful men. He says the gospel is, in verse 4, it's the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. The gospel is the demonstration of the Spirit. See, I'm going to tell you this. When I was young and I was, you know, raised in the church, there wasn't a lot of demonstration of anything. It was all just, I'm telling you. Sit in that chair and be quiet. Let me tell you this. You know. But there wasn't any demonstration. In fact, the most that we usually got out of the book of Acts was we got to learn about the missionary journeys of Paul. What cities he went to and all that. But we never touched anything about, there was no demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Even though this verse was in there when I was a kid. Right? And some of you have similar backgrounds. And we're not naysaying those things necessarily. But look, the folks says, the fact is, we've got to get past this issue of this is just something you believe. What if Jesus came into the earth and He just kind of lived out His personal beliefs all to Himself? Yeah. Yeah. So, it's not something you believe, it's something that you, it's just something that is. And we've got to come to the place where, like Paul is saying, look, when I came to you, I didn't come to you in my own wisdom, I didn't come to you in wisdom that was taught to me, I didn't get in seminary. He said, when I came to you, I came in two things. Number one, I decided I was going to know Jesus, I was going to know His presence, and you can go over to Acts 18, you see where he obviously had fellowship with the presence of the Lord because he came and talked to him about some things. And he said, I was going to know him and him crucified. What does that mean? Well, the reason that's important is because if he's crucified, so are you. And if he was raised up, so are you. So the old guy doesn't exist anymore. So, but then he goes on to say, he says, look, it's about the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith won't rest in the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. And then he talks about the fact that in verse 9 he says, he quotes an Old Testament verse, and he says, there's things which the eye has not seen, speaking of natural man, and the ear has not heard, and have not entered into the heart of man. Now, the interesting thing, even in the Old Testament, where this verse is originally quoted, the interesting thing about this verse is, literally what it's saying is, there's things that the natural eye hasn't seen and the ear has not heard, but there are things that have not sprung up into the heart of man. They haven't come up into the heart of man. Why? Because he's not connected. Yeah, you ain't going to get no AM signals on an FM radio. Right? Or vice versa. I mean, even nowadays with digital, I mean, if you're not right on the number, you're not going to get the frequency. Right? And so now go back over to John. So we understand this. Now, one of the issues of the gospel is what? Let's forget about everything we've ever known about what the gospel is and understand this. One of the foundational issues with the gospel, according to what Paul is saying, is there are things, well, number one, A, the gospel is the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Right? Number two, there are things that are supposed to be entering into the heart of man that Father wants to enter into the heart of man. We saw that in John, it says that Father loved Jesus, so he showed him all things. Well, he loves the world too. He wants to show them all things. The problem is they're not connected, and the fact that those things are not entering into their heart. And they're not going to know that they're not entering into their heart unless they're being demonstrated through the new creation man. Does this make sense? Have I lost anybody? Because the way you contrast a natural man with a new creation man, you know, one of the things that religion has done so well at, it's completely leveled the playing field and said, this guy, a new creation, is the same as this guy over here as a natural man. And that's just not so. That's just not true. It's not an issue of, you know, one being better than the other. It's the fact that, you know, this is a new model. The new creation man is a new model, and natural man is the original model, and they're not the same. It's not a personal issue. I mean, I challenge you, go back into the Gospels and see how Peter acted before he was born from above and see how he acted after. I mean, after, you know, before he seemed like he was dumb as a rock sometimes. Just, you know, because natural men, they go after what they see and they go after what they hear and they go after what they think. You know, one particular time he got something from the Father and Jesus said, you're blessed because you didn't get that from natural man, but you got it from my Father who's in heaven. He said, and upon that rock, those things that are revealed from heaven, I'm going to build my church. He was speaking about the time when after his resurrection that he was going to start the new covenant and the new creation man was going to be walking the earth, the one he just demonstrated for 3.5 years. And so you look at Peter after the fact, look in the book of Acts, I mean, shoot, people walk into the room and Peter knows what's going on with them. Without anybody saying anything. Why? Because he's a new creation, the Spirit of God's in him, in the book of Acts, he's born from above, whereas under the ministry of Jesus, when Jesus was in the earth, he was just a natural man. The two function completely different, or they're supposed to function different. The challenge has been is because so many have been influenced by a religious system that really didn't have this understanding of the big picture. We just want everybody to feel good, and we're just all the same. The problem is we're not all the same, because Jesus didn't go to the cross, do what he did, pay the price, pay the lien, be raised up, be sat at the right hand of Daddy, raise us up with him, Ephesians chapter 2, and seat us next to him for us all to be just the same as we were back over here as a natural man. It's just not the case. So what we should do, what we need to do is understand, look, keep it out of the personal realm. It's not a personal thing. We're going to demonstrate, like Jesus did, we're going to demonstrate the new creation. Because anybody we're speaking to, anybody we're interacting with, anybody we're fellowshipping with, whether they're a natural man, you know, and they don't know Jesus or whatever, regardless of that, we still interact with them as if this is who you are as a new creation. This is who you are. This is how you're supposed to function. This is how, you know, when you get connected with him, this is how things flow. Is this making sense? You guys are awful quiet. So we deal with people like that because Jesus didn't just die for Christians. He didn't pay the lien for Christians. He paid the lien for every human being that's breathing on the planet. In fact, he says here, he says, I'm doing, what is it? The Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he's doing. And then go to chapter 8 and look at 47. Chapter 8, verse 47. Chapter 8, verse 47. Notice what Jesus said. Now, see, in my Bible, it's in red, so I know Jesus said it. So it wasn't just some religious guy that maybe he just got an idea one day. So, I mean, if Jesus said it's probably right. Right? So, in verse 47, he says, verse 46, he says, I speak the truth. Why is it that you don't believe me? Verse 47. He who is of God, what's the rest of the statement? He who is of God hears the words of God. You could say it like this. This is really the idea of the Greek New Testament. He who is out of God speaks of connection, right? He who is out of God or out from God, who's connected with him, is speaking out from him, hears the words of God. Okay, now hold your place here and I'll go over to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Look at verse 12. John chapter 1. Jesus said in John 8 that he who is of God, or you could say born of God, he who is a new creation man, hears the words of God. John chapter 1 verse 12, familiar verses of scripture for everybody, says, but as many as received him, he gave them the right, or you could say the authority, to become children of God. Now remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, he said that he gave us his spirit so that we might know those things that are freely given to us. Remember those verses? How many of those verses are, he's speaking about every human being that breathes, he wants put his spirit in every human being that's breathing because he wants there to be that constant flow into their heart of all those things that he's given us. That's in his heart. That's his desire. See, why am I reiterating this? Because I'm trying to break down these categorical mindsets that we have, us and them. Now it is true, there's the natural man and there's the new creation man. But when it comes to interacting with folks, let's stop looking at them and dealing with them in regards to, in the light of their deficiencies. Let's start dealing with them in the light of who they are because of what Jesus did. Did you hear what I just said? So if we start talking to them as if this is how you're supposed to function. This is how you function. This is the way Jesus functioned. I mean, it wasn't us or them. He just, hey, this is the way we function. I always do those things that I see my Father doing. Because this is the way man is supposed to function. Didn't you say in Matthew 4:4 that man is to live not just by natural sustenance and bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Every man is to live by every word that comes out of the mouth. See, that's speaking in and of itself. That's speaking. What is he saying? Imagine, go all the way back to when he created man and he knows how man is wired and he knows the schematics, so to speak, of what is in man and how he's supposed to function, and that original connection. He's speaking from that place. Man's supposed to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Daddy. That's how that's the way man is created to live, from every word that comes out of Daddy's mouth. So he just modeled that when he was in the earth with the Spirit of God in him and on him. And so here he says in John 8, he says, the ones that are born out of God are the ones that hear. If you're born out of God, you hear the voice of God. And then in John 1, it says, those who receive him, he gave the right to become the children of God. So what does he do? He gave us the authority to hear him. Did you know you have the authority to hear him? Everybody say this. I have the authority to hear him. God's given you authority to hear him. Now, go over to where should we go? Go over to Matthew chapter 5. Actually, go over to, let's stay there. I want to get there. I may just take you over to chapter 9, but Matthew 4:4, I'll read this just as a point of reference. We just talked about it. It's written, man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And in chapter 4, verse 17, speaking of Jesus, the prophets of the Old Testament, being shown by the Spirit of God, they spoke some things concerning when Jesus was going to come into the earth. And they said, in verse 16, that the people were sitting in darkness, they saw a great light, and those who were sitting in the land and shadow of death, upon them a light dawned. Everybody say, a light dawned. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, or literally have a change of mind and turn around, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Here's what I want you to see. Whenever you see the phrase the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, I want you to see a light dawning. Right? You remember in Psalms chapter 119, in verse 105, it says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. But I like Psalms 119 verse 105. I like verse 30. It says, the entrance or the opening or the disclosure, or you could say the communication of your words. And literally in the Hebrew Old Testament, it says, will cause light. The communication of your word will cause light. Now, if you notice anything about the ministry of Jesus, and we're going to get into these things in the next few weeks, and then we're going to get into a new series. But notice in the ministry of Jesus, in chapter 4, it says that it says in verse 17 that from that time on he began to preach and say, you know, have a new perspective, turn around, because the kingdom of God's at hand. The kingdom of God is here. And in another place in Luke, it says that he says, Father gladly chose to give you the kingdom. Everybody say that. He gladly chose to give me the kingdom. To them who are the sons, he gave the right to hear him. He gladly gave us the kingdom. For those who are his offspring, he gave you the authority to hear him. The kingdom of God is the transfer of communication from the king to human beings. And he gave the kingdom to... Now, I want you to hear this. Was he, when he spoke that thing, was he speaking to Christians? Was he speaking to Christians? No. He was speaking to natural men. So therefore, we have to understand that when Jesus was communicating those things that Father gladly chose to do, he gladly chose to do those things for every human being that's breathing. It's his heart's desire that every human being on the planet is connected in the kingdom system and hears his words. So we ought to be communicating and demonstrating the spirit and power with the end result and with the, if I can use this word loosely, extremely loosely, agenda to demonstrate to every human being that's breathing, this is what you look like in the kingdom. Because Daddy gladly chose to give it to you. And that's what Jesus did for you. Because he wants you to hear his words all the time. So then you go on, you see Matthew 4, where Jesus was going about in verse 23 throughout all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. And then so people brought to him all that were ill and suffered in various diseases and pains, demoniacs, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them, and large crowds stayed away in droves. Is that what it says? Is that what the verse says? Well, how come that's so now? You want to know why? Because the world's not seeing what they look like. They're not seeing, you know, part of the thing that I think is so will be such a fascinating result of the Firestarter series is that people will learn and they'll learn to experience that this is the way Daddy sees you, this is who you are, and this is how you're supposed to function, and this is the result of his extreme compassion for you. Because they don't know that. So, over in chapter 5, let's jump over to... Well, chapter 5, verse 3 says, blessed are the poor in what? Is that big S or little? Can you say natural man? Because why? Theirs is the... To those who receive him, he gave them the authority to hear him. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit, because to you belongs the kingdom in which you've been given the authority to hear him. Now go, let's go to chapter 9. Chapter 9. It says, getting into the boat, Jesus crossed over and came to his own city, and they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. And seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralytic, take courage, son. Father's teaching you something.
No.
Is that what it says?
No.
You sure? Take courage, son. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Your sins are forgiven. Now, some of the scribes said to themselves, this fellow blasphemes. And it says in verse 4, now again, is Jesus functioning as God, or is he functioning as a new creation man with the Spirit of God in him and on him? B. Good.
Good answer.
So what does he say? Jesus knowing their, why did he know their thoughts? Because he has been given the right to hear Daddy. Because Daddy loves him and shows him all things. So he knew their thoughts, and he said, why are you thinking evil in your hearts? And then I love this part. He says, which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or get up and walk? Now, let me break this down a little bit more for you. Okay, because when he told the guy, he says, your sins are forgiven, literally in the Greek New Testament, it is in the present tense, which means ongoing constantly. I'm telling you, this would just rack up a religious person. What do you mean ongoing constantly, your sins are forgiven? Well, didn't Paul say in 2 Corinthians 5, in fact, we're going to go there after this verse, that Father is reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not holding their trespasses against them. Was that just like after the cross? Or forever? He says, on an ongoing, constant basis, he says, your sins are receiving forgiveness constantly. Don't go there with your thoughts. Because that's where everybody goes. Well, brother, are you saying then that he could just go off and do whatever he wants to because it's all forgiven? Well, he could go off and do whatever he wants to. Don't most people go off and do what they want to anyway? I mean, where is there an issue where they don't go off and do what they want? That isn't the issue. The issue is, Father is reconciling the world to himself, not holding their trespasses against them. You know, the cool thing about that is this. If the bad stuff a human being does aren't an issue, then neither is the good stuff they do. Either one's a non-issue. Because the only issue is, who do you say Jesus is? Because who you say Jesus is determines on what nature you have, whether you're going to stay a natural man or you're going to become a new creation, and he's going to put his nature in you and then put his spirit in you so that you have the authority to hear him. That's the only issue. See, this isn't a religious thing. We've made it a religious thing. It's not a religious thing at all. It's a connected thing. So, where was I at? I was in chapter 9. I got to hurry because I got to get you out of here. He says, knowing their thoughts, he said, why are you thinking evil in your heart? He says, I like it this way. He says like this. He says, look, which one requires no effort or work? Which one requires no effort or struggle? That's really what the Greek New Testament is saying. Which one requires no effort or struggle? To say to somebody, your sins are in a constant state of being forgiven, because my daddy is not holding your trespasses against you, because the issue is me, not what you're doing. Or, and this is really what it says in the Greek New Testament, or to command, take up your bed and walk. Which one requires less effort? Now, if we took that survey, most people are going to say, well, I think the whole saying thing is less effort. Either one, there's no difference. There's no difference because what Jesus is receiving is what gives him his authority, because he has been given the authority, because he's been given the authority to hear, therefore he's been given the authority to speak. Understand this, folks. The reason why Daddy gave us authority to hear him is because he wants us to use that authority to speak. Because look at the next verses here. The guy got up, went home. The crowd saw this and they were awestruck. They glorified God who had given such authority to the divine being of Jesus. Is that what it says? What does it say? To men. They were awestruck because here they are, they're looking at Jesus. And they're like, wow, this dude can command people just to get up and go, and they just get up and go. And you notice that the next verses don't say, and Jesus corrected them and said, no, my beloved, but the reason why I can do these things is because I am truly God. Don't try this at home. Do you notice he doesn't say that? Do you notice he didn't even dispute that? Do you notice he calls himself the Son of Man all the time? In fact, go over to chapter 9. Go to verse 20. And there was a woman who had been suffering from a hemorrhage for 12 years. And he came up behind him and she touched the fringe of his cloak. And she was saying to herself, if I only touch his garment, I'll get well. And then the next verse says, and Jesus turning and seeing her. Now, Mark says in the same exact instance, Mark says that Jesus perceived that power had gone out of him. He had perceived that power had gone out of him. Matthew says literally what the Greek New Testament says here, is Matthew said this, Jesus received turning. In other words, he perceived that power had gone out of him and he just received being turned around. And he saw her. He received being turned around because he perceived that power had gone out of him. Why? With all those people all around him. See, if he was living out of his natural man, what would he have done? All he would have seen was the crowds. He would have heard the noise. He would have paid attention to where he's going. Hey, don't get too close to me. Come on, man, you're crowding me here. Come on, give me some space. But he had enough wherewithal. He paid attention to what was going on in him. And he perceived that the power had left him and it turned him around. And when he turned around, he saw her. Now she was highlighted to him. Now, was he still living connected? Because he saw her. I mean, all the people around him. In fact, everybody else around him said, give me a break. Who touched you? Who didn't touch you? And then jump forward to look at verse 35. Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogue, proclaiming the gospel of the what? Proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, the right for human beings to hear the words of Daddy, healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Seeing the people, he felt compassion. That word felt compassion. See, all these things, why am I bringing these things up? Because we've made this whole living connected with the Spirit of God. Whenever we hear, hearing the words of God, we start listening for words. Well, Daddy never talks to me. Well, how many times has he impressed upon you something and you ignored it? I'm telling you right now, folks, you know how many mistakes I've not made? Because my spirit brought something to my attention before my mind noticed it. And because my spirit brought to my attention, my mind noticed it. And if I hadn't noticed it, I would have made a mistake. How many times in your lifetime, in everything you do in your daily life, let's get out of the spiritual zone, let's get into just everyday life. How many times in your spirit do you get checked to do this or that, or don't do this or that, or to check on something or whatever, and you just blow by it and just keep on rolling? The new covenant, the old testament declares that the new covenant is this, that he wants to make you the head, not the tail, above and not beneath. Right? Everybody quotes those verses. Praise Jesus. I'm the head, not the tail, above and not beneath. Not if you're ignoring him. If you're ignoring him, you're just like this guy over here. Go back and read your Old Testament. The Old Testament and the New Testament are no different. Go in Deuteronomy. I know that'll rock your boat. Go read in Deuteronomy. He says, if you listen to my voice, I'll do this. If you listen to my voice, I'll do this. If you just had taken heed to my voice, I would do this. The New Testament's no, because man is created to live hearing the voice of God. That's how the promises are supposed to be taken effect. The promises are for us. But we have to live connected. Because if we live connected, every time we live connected, it's reinforcing that promise in your life. Every time, every time, every time, every time, every time. So let's not super spiritualize stuff. I mean, you look at some of these things, Jesus felt compassion. What that literally says in the Greek New Testament is, here he is, and all of a sudden compassion welled up in him. It came to him. It came to him. How many times when you're around people, does something come to you, you just want to love on something, it's like somebody that's highlighted, you just want to go give them a hug, you just want to go say something, you just want to build them up, lift them up, say something to them. What's happening? This. Just do it. Go with it. It's not super spiritual weird. Just go with it. I mean, all in the Gospels, Jesus is modeling all this. I mean, in chapter 10, he says, and this is the last verse, Jesus summoned the 12 disciples and gave them authority over all unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. I'm going to read that again. Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out, heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Now, he also did this for the 70, right? So it wasn't just the 12 were special, right? Can I ask you a question? I'm going to ask you the same question the Spirit of God asked me. Ready? Are you ready?
Yeah.
When did he take it back? Was he speaking to new creation men or just men?
Men.
When did he take it back? He never has. You know why? Because this is where man is supposed to be standing. In fact, he goes on to say in verse 7, and as you go, preach saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then he says, he begins to give you some commands. These are commands in the Greek New Testament. It's an imperative. It's not a suggestion. It is a command. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse the lepers. Cast out demons. He said, freely you've received. Why? Because my daddy has freely chosen to give you the kingdom. He's freely chosen to give human beings the right to hear him. Ooh. Freely you receive, so freely give. All that's a command. He gave him authority over all unclean spirits to cast them out and heal all those who are oppressed of the devil and every sickness and disease. And that was to a natural man. And why was that? Because that's where man's supposed to be standing. They were amazed that he had given this authority to man. The difference between natural man and you is you know it, they don't. You have his nature, they don't. You know what you're supposed to look like, they don't. You've made it a normal part of your life, living with Jesus. You know, I talked to Frederick yesterday for an hour. It's always an hour, man. For those who don't know, Frederick and Andrew, they used to attend here, and now they live in Uganda. And they're connected with Jesus Ministry in Uganda. So he's talking to me, and he's saying, you know, one of the things I've learned here is the fact that it doesn't matter what tag people wear. What's amazing here, he says, I don't care if I talk to a Catholic or I talk to an Anglican or I talk to somebody else who's associated. You know, it's the church is where they pray from in Uganda. That's their mindset. He said, but their identity is not their church affiliation. Their identity, he said, everybody I've talked to, everybody. Now contrast this with America. He said, everybody's identity is, I just love Jesus. I just love Jesus. He's amazing. I love him. I don't care if they're a Catholic. They may not know all the things that we know. But see, their identity is not their affiliation. In America, their identity is their affiliation. Why? Because they don't experience Jesus. They experience doctrine. They don't understand that they're supposed to be experiencing Jesus because this is the way they're supposed to be in life. So over there in Uganda, it doesn't matter what tag you wear, their love is Jesus. Their first love is Jesus, and they just love Jesus. They love hanging out with Jesus. They love praying with Jesus. They love doing that kind of, they don't care about the, I mean, I, you know, one lady, man, she's going to a Muslim school. She's a Christian. She's going to a Muslim school because she's like, hey, you know, they're paying for my school, so. You know, when they all bow down and pray during prayer time, I just praise Jesus, and I bow down and praise, you know, and worship Jesus, and you know, they're all worshiping whatever. He said, but I, she said, I worship Jesus. And, you know, when I'm done with the school, I'll go on my way. And because the reality in everybody's mind there is Jesus, not my affiliation or my tag or my whatever. Folks, in America, if we begin to demonstrate this, there will be a shift in people's understanding. They'll begin to hunger and thirst after Jesus. Because we'll demonstrate, this isn't a special club, man. This is for you too.
Yeah.
How many are up for that?
Yes.
Amen. Everybody stand up. Next week, I'm going to take you back over to 2 Corinthians 5 and show you something over there. It'll forever change your perspective of daddy. Did you guys get anything out of this today?
Yeah.
A few people. Father, we just love you and praise you and we thank you. Thank you for giving us the authority to hear you. The authority to receive the things that come from the kingdom and to act on those things, even down to the smallest things of our own personal lives and keeping us from making mistakes. Or you're always desiring to lift us up, bring us into a more full experience with you. We just love you and praise you for it. Father, I just declare over each person in this room. I speak to your bodies in the name of the Lord Jesus, and I declare you are pain free.
Yes.
Bodies receive the life of Jesus that is in them.
Yes.
Receive that life and receive that quickening. And I just thank you and praise you for that, Lord. That you make all things new. In Jesus' name, everybody agree with that prayer said, amen.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.